Okay, Parshas Vayelech, Pasuk says in Mishlei, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Hey, Lachu Lachamu Velachmi Ishesu Biyein Masachti. Come, eat my bread and drink the wine that I mixed. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains that just like bread and wine are the main sources of sustenance for the human body, so too Torah is the main sustenance for the neshama. And therefore, Shlomo is saying, "L'chu lach mevlach m'shesu b'yayim masachti, come eat my bread and drink my wine," which means come learn Torah, because that's the main sustenance for the soul. And it says "l'chu," doesn't say "bo," it says "l'chu," go, because when it comes to learning Torah, you got to go. That is, you may have to travel far to the right yeshiva for you, or to find Talmidei Chachamim. But if you have to walk, and maybe maybe the right shul with the right Talmud Chacham for you is far from your house. Well, whatever the case is, or the shir is far from your house, or the yeshiva is far from you. Either way, you have to walk out. You have to go. So that's lachu. And he says that there's an extra schar for the walking besides the mitzvah itself. There's a schar for the going. Anyway, he also mentions that there is that every mitzvah is its own food for the neshama, for the nefesh. So we have Ramach, Evarim, Shesayik, Edim, right? We have the 613 mitzvahs, which are connected to the different parts of the connected the 248 Evarim and the 365 Gidim. So every mitzvah is mazin a different chelik of the person. And that is, in his words, he mazon hanefesh sheba tia hanefesh nizonis miziv hashchina l'olam haba. It's through that you're nizon in olam haba. So every mitzvah is a precious package, because through that we are sustained from the ziv hashchina l'olam haba. Anyway, but the going, the zrizus, and the going to a mitzvah, that's how he's talking about that, because the parsha begins Vayelech Moshe Vayedaber Moshe. The Moshe went, he did that walking to go tell Klal Yisrael, so he went. Anyway, that's the connection. Then he talks about, so it starts, the parsha starts with Moshe saying how old he is, right? He lived exactly 120 years. He was born the same day he died. So he says, Ben Me'av Esrim Shana Anochi Hayom, I'm 120 years today. And he doesn't say Ben Me'av Esrim Shana Ani Hayom. He says Anochi Hayom. So Rabbeinu Bechai picks up on that and says it's very possible that the 120 years that Moshe lived were connected, the 120 days that he invested in Kabbalah Satorah, because there was 40 days on the mountain getting the Torah, and then 40 days davening, and then 40 days back getting the second Luchos. So 100, total of 120 days. So connected that, it's possible they lived 120 years. And that's the remez why he said Anochi. Like the Aseret HaDibros speaking with Anochi. So it was like a hint to that. That the 120 years were because of Anochi, the 120 days he spent on Har Sinai. Anyway, like I said, he mentions that Moshe lived exactly 120 years. And you can figure that out from the Psukim. But in explaining that, he also talks about that it says v'lo yachla od hatzvina, right? When Moshe was 3 months old, it says he could not hide him anymore, and that was on Vav Nisan, right? 3 months after Zayin Adar, when Moshe was born, is Vav Nisan. She couldn't hide him anymore. So he says that's because on the 6th of Nisan, that's the day we were supposed to get, we would get the Torah again, and we would get the Torah in the future. So Moshe lit up more that day. And therefore she couldn't hide him, because he was so full light. It says when Moshe was born, like the house filled with light. So on the 6th of Nisan, it really filled with light. And she couldn't hide him anymore because of that. And therefore she put him in this basket where you couldn't see his light. Okay, then we have the mitzvah of Hakel, which is Miketz Sheva Shanim. So it happens on Chol Hamoed Sukkos on the 8th year of the Shemitah cycle. And it says, Miketz, so Rabbeinu Bechai points out, everywhere in Chumash it says, Ketz, it means at the end of, right? This is not, believe it or not, not the most Pashut thing. There's other Rishonim say, that sometimes Ketz means the beginning, like Tosha says, but Ben Machai here says Miketz always means the end. But it could be the end of and within, or it could be the end of and without. So that is to say, when we say here in this pasuk, we mean at the end of 7 years afterwards, because Hakel happens on the 8th year. Sometimes you mean at the end of 7 years means towards the end of the 7 years, which at the end of 7 years, there's a Shemitah, where, in other words, that there's Hashmatas Ksafim is Besof. So it says Miket Sheva Shanim Tasa Shmita. Towards the end of the 7 years is the 7th year. At the end of the 7th year is when the Shmita Sksafim happens. Anyway, the point is that you could have at the end meaning towards the end, or you could have at the end afterwards. So that could go either way, but it always means at the end. Anyway, he says that the sod of mitzvahs hakel is that, and he has mentioned this before by Shmita, that the whole world is supposed to last 7,000 years, 6,000 years of regular existence, and then 1,000 years of charuv, where the world will be desolate, presumably the times of Tchias Mesim around then. This 7th year of desolation, so that's the year of Shemitah, is that where we don't work the land. That's some remnant to that 1 year, 1,000 years of desolation. And then afterwards, Hakel, which is, he says, Kol hanim tzayim kulan yu nikralim nikraim lefnei ha-melech Hashem. Everyone will be called to Hashem. In other words, will be called in front of the Melech. That's a remnant to the Mitzvah Hakel, where we all stand around the Melech who reads from the Torah. Okay, next. We then have, it says, tells Moshe, Karvu yamecha lamos. Moshe, your days have come to a close. Hashem tells Moshe he's going to die. Hein karvu yamecha lamos. So Rabbeinu Bechai points out, just as you see from this pasuk, as I think it would be pashut to all of us, that there is a person is born with a gzera of how long they're going to live. There's a finite amount of years when the day they're born, how long they're going to live. So karvu yamecha lamos means they're getting close to that time that the person's supposed to die. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that a person, even though there's a gzera on them, everything's a gzera on them, and there's a gzera on them how long they could live. If they do mitzvos, they may live longer. If they do averes, they may live shorter. There could be addings and subtractions based on what a person does in life. Because Hashem, even though there's a gzera, Hashem can extend it or lower it, because a person's life is based on their mazal. Gemara and Moed Katan tells us, that children, how long you're going to live, and parnasa, that's not tali in zchus, that's tali in mazel. That means it's a gzera on the person when they're born, how it's going to be. So generally speaking, there's a gzera on that, there's a mazel on that. So he says that it doesn't mean that they can't change. Like we said, it means that there is a mazel that's not tali in zchus, that just a person's born on the right mazel. You know, if someone's born at the right time, the right place, under the right stars, so then they're going to be rich or poor. But it is possible to change it. So he says, for general things, not b'ni chayim azone, let's say whether someone's going to stub their toe that morning. So that's also gzera. He said that can be changed just by schusim, without any davening. Got that? Without davening, Tashem. In other words, if a person's just, let's say, worried about it, he was worried he's going to, I don't know what, something bad might happen, not totally destroy his parnasa, but let's say affected, or I don't know, or like I said, he's afraid he might get in a fight with someone. I don't know, whatever the thing is, whatever gzera it is, just by him being upset about it, Hashem, if a person has chusam, Hashem will stop it, as it says in Ashrei, Ritzon Yirei of Yaseh, just the will of his, those who fear him, he will do. That means, Rabbeinu Bechai says, they don't daven. Nothing to do with davening, no davening. Just that they wouldn't want it. Hashem would be mevatel that gzera that should have happened to them, or that was going to happen to them. If they're upset about it, so Hashem will take it away. But when it comes to bri chayim azone, when it comes to those things that are up to mazel, specifically kids, how long someone's going to live, and parnasa, so that needs super davening. That's why Chazal told us that bri chayim is only a talayim also, meaning there is a gzera, a strong gzera based on mazel. Now, the way Hashem set up the world is that the mazalos, the kochavim, they affect us, the stars in the sky, that they do have an effect on this world, but they're not insurmountable. They just require a lot of tefillah. So that's the end of that pasuk. Veshavasam yishma v'yoshiyem. When it comes to things that are tully and mazal, so you need to daven a lot. So the Ritzon Yirei Avyaseh, just their will, Hashem will do of tzaddikim, for regular stuff, but for mazal stuff, then Shavasam Yishma V'Yoshim. Then they have to daven. If they daven, Hashem will listen to them. But it requires extra tefillah to overcome mazal of Bni Chayei Umezonei. Okay. He also mentions that that's why Hashem is called the name of Shakai. Comes from Shemeshadid Hamaracha Menatzeach Osa. I mean, even though it could beat the constellations, meaning even though Hashem set up the world, the things work through the Mazalos, and Mazalos do affect this world. Still, Hashem didn't cede control in any way. Hashem makes it happen as He wants it to happen, and Hashem can overcome them whenever He wants. I'm going to skip something and come back to it, but I'm going to skip to because it's a connected idea. When the Pasuk says about Elohei Necha Ha'aretz, it refers to later. That's in Pasuk Tez Zayin, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Tez Zayin. It says that when Moshe dies, Hashem knows that the Jews will go worship of Azara, Elohei Necha Ha'aretz. So Rabbeinu Bechai there says that Avodah Zarah is foreign to Eretz Yisrael. Elohei Necher Haaretz, because there are the Goyim, the Nachrim are given over to Necher Haaretz. That is, they are under the constellations directly. And he even gives you examples, which is amazing. He says, Amru B'Sifri HaChachma Mefuara, that according to astrology, the Mazel of Akrav, Scorpio, is for the lands of Yishmael. And the mazel of Keshes is for Pras, which would be Iran today. The mazel of Gedi is for the Plishtim. The mazel of Basula or Moznayim is for Edom. So each of the nations is under a specific mazel. Klal Yisrael is not under a mazel. Eretz Yisrael is not under any mazel. And he says, therefore, that worshipping Avodah Zarah for Nachrim is not so bad, unless they worship it in Eretz Yisrael. I don't even know what those words mean. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. I don't know, but that's what he says. The Goyim are only punished for worshipping Avodah Zarah in Israel, like the Kusim that worshipped Avodah Zarah elsewhere when they came to Israel, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah, all of a sudden they got punished. At the very least, they don't get punished. It's not as severe, apparently. It's not as severe outside of Eretz Yisrael. Inside of Eretz Yisrael, it's totally inappropriate because there's no mazel in Yisrael. And he says that's what it means, in mazel Yisrael. That's why I wanted to mention this now, because it's connected to what we just said. The concept of in mazel Yisrael means there's no mazel, there's no set of stars that's over Klal Yisrael. Hashem is over Klal Yisrael. Now he says it doesn't mean that the mazelos don't affect Klal Yisrael, as we just explained, they do. But it means they're not under Klal Yisrael. You know, Klal Yisrael is not under it. We can daven and change things. We're not... Certainly, Klal Yisrael as a whole is not under mazel in any way. As individuals, this is my understanding of it, as individuals, we can daven and overcome mazel. As a nation, we're not under it at all. As he says, because the mazalos were all created b'shvil ha-tzadikim, so it can't be that Klal Yisrael would be under it. So we're not. Okay, now going back in order here. We had that back in the pasuk we were in a minute ago, that Moshe was going to die, and he tells him that, you know, Yoshua is going to take over. So the Rebbeinu Bechai brings this Hincha Shochev Vekam, based on a Zohar, that it was Hashem told Moshe that even though you're going to die, Yoshua is going to take over, you're still around. In the sense that just like when the sun sets, the sun didn't die, the sun set to let the moon shine, and the moon's light comes from the sun. It ain't dead, it's just not seeable, but the moon is getting its light from the sun, and the sun going away lets the moon shine. So it's a beautiful idea, right? When the, and therefore when the, he said, when you, Moshe, are going to die, you're not gone. It's going to let Yehoshua shine, and his light will come from you. Pin Bachai explains that based having to do with Kochos. Moshe's Koach allows the Yehoshua's Koach of Nevuah and Torah Shabbat Peh, whatever you could look through the Kabbalistic side. I'm unfortunately not a big enough expert, but that was just a nice idea. Okay, then we have the Pasuk says that when calamities befall the Jewish people, they'll say, Al-ki-ein Elokai b'kirbi, because Hashem is not within my midst. So Rabbeinu Bachai points out that any time you find the word kerev, whenever the Torah ever says, Al-kein, this is b'kirbi, anything time it says, Kishmi b'kirbo, Laman shisisi osasai ela b'kirbo, anytime you find the word kerev, it's Midas Hadin. It's connected to Midas Hadin. Like the word krav that it comes from is war, right? So, Bekir Bo is a lotion of Midas Hadin. Like you have here, Alkein Ein Elokai Bekir Bi. The Torah will always use that word when it's talking about lotion Midas Hadin. So, then when there's no Hashem around, there's no Shechina, that's when bad things happen. Alkein Ein Elokai Bekir Bi. And like it says, Man Shisi Ososai Ela Bekir Bo. Like Hashem is going to do the Makos on Egypt. It says Bekirbo. Again, right, Midas Adin is not always bad. It's Midas Adin. So there was bad against the Mitzrayim. It's just Midas Adin. So you'll find it in other psukim that don't sound bad. That's what it's a remiss to Midas Adin. Okay. And then, finally, it's a short parsha, so this is finally. At the end of the parsha, it says that the Torah will never be forgotten. Ki lo si shachach mi pi zaro. Will never be forgotten. Ki yadatis asher es yitzro asher hu osa hayom. Because I know your Yetzirah. So now Rabbeinu Bachai has an interesting pshat from here. That the way he sees it, it seems to him that means the Torah will be forgotten one day. That is to say, that the Torah will not be forgotten because I know your Yetzirah. And what happens when there's no Yetzirah? Then the Torah will be forgotten. That is to say, that the Torah only exists in Olam Hazeh. Let me explain what that means. The Torah as we know it only exists in Olam Hazeh, meaning the Torah will be forgotten once Olam Haba comes. By that we mean Zman Tchias HaMezim. So there's a couple of chidushim. One is there will still be a Yitzhara, it sounds like, in Zman of Yemos HaMashiach, there will still be a Yitzhara. But when Tchias HaMezim comes, that's when the Yitzhara goes away, and then it's a different kind of existence, and then the Torah will be forgotten, meaning we won't be keeping the Torah as we know it today, except Purim. I think most of us are familiar with that the Purim will never go away. So he says that whatever that means, the mitzvah of Purim will exist in Olam Haba. The rest of the Torah will not, as we know it today. That's what it means, that the Torah will not be forgotten, because he knows our Yitzhara, that Kol Zman we have a Yitzhara, the Torah will not be forgotten. After the Yitzhara is gone, at the time of Tchiyas Samesim, then the Torah will not be as we know it today, and except for the mitzvah of Purim. And that's it. Have a good Shabbos. Gemar Chazim HaTovah.